Morning. Scripture reading for this morning's lesson will be read from the book of Matthew, chapter 9, verse 35 through 38. For those of you reading from the Bibles from underneath the benches, that's page 857. Again, that's Matthew chapter 9, verse 35 through 38. Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. And when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them, because they were weary and scattered like sheep, having no shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest."
During the Great Depression, workers were seeking employment, and they would gather at the town square at an empty parking lot, hoping that some employer, farmer, who needs help out on the field, would come by and hire them for the day. Those were the words of a friend of mine, by the name of Milford Wright, from Portsmouth, Ohio. Milford grew up during that Great Depression, and he was one of those that was gathered at the town square that was looking for work at that time. It was a little bit before my time, but we have today, still yet, many who were participants. They can give us eyewitness testimony to those events, how hard and difficult times were then. This reminds me of a parable that Jesus shared with his disciples. There in Matthew chapter 20, in verses 1 through 16. You have your Bibles this morning. I'd like for you to turn over there. And let's read that parable that Jesus shares with us in Matthew chapter 20. I think you'll understand why, certainly I can relate to this, with regards to the words of Milford Wright. "For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. Now when he had agreed with the laborers for a denarius a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And he went out about the third hour, and he saw others standing idle in the marketplace, and said to them, 'You also go into the vineyard, and whatever is right I'll give to you.' So they went. And again he went out at the sixth and the ninth hour, and did likewise. And about the 11th hour he went out, and he found others standing idle, and said to them, 'Why are you standing here idle all day?' They said to him, 'Because no one hired us.' He said to them, 'You also go into the vineyard, and whatever is right, you'll receive it.' So when evening had come, the landowner, or the owner of the vineyard, said to his steward, 'Call the laborers and give them their wages, beginning with the last to the first.' And when those who came who were hired about the 11th hour, they each received a denarius. And when the first came, they supposed that they would receive more. And they likewise received a denarius. And when they had received it, they complained against the landowner, saying, 'The last men who have worked only 1 hour, and you made them equal to us, who have borne the burden of the heat of the day.' And he answered one of them, and he said, 'Friend, am I doing you wrong? Did you not agree with me for a denarius? Take what is yours, go your way. I wish to give this to the last man the same as to you. Is it not lawful for me to do what I wish with my own things? Or is your eye evil because I am good? So the last will be first, and the first last, for many are called, but few they are chosen. You know, Jesus begins this parable, and of course you know what a parable is. It's an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. He begins this parable by describing for us the kingdom of heaven. You remember there's a series of passages that Jesus shares with us with regards to the kingdom of heaven in Matthew chapter 13. You remember there in Matthew chapter 13, Jesus shares with us various parables. The sower, for example. He shares with us about the woman, you remember, preparing bread. He shares with us other parables there with regards to the pearl of great price and the hidden treasure, the wheat and the tares and so forth. In all of these parables regarding the kingdom, I want you to understand something. When you look at them, I want you to understand there's effort that is required and sacrifice. Effort and sacrifice. The sower must get up to sow. He doesn't just lie down on the ground and just throw seed everywhere. He's got to go get his seed and put it in his pouch, and he's got to go out and spread it. Fishermen, with regards to the dragnet, need to put forth the effort. They need to get in their boat. They need to go out into the sea, or they need to walk with their nets out into the ocean waters and pull that net back. It requires effort. The woman who is kneading the dough, it requires effort on her part. She's got to work with her hands and get involved. And even the pearl of great price and the hidden treasure, it requires effort and sacrifice. With regards to the kingdom, someone might say, well, what is that kingdom of heaven? What is that kingdom of God? And what is it that one is involved to be involved in and to sacrifice for? It's the church, brethren. You go back to Mark chapter 9 and verse 1, you'll remember Jesus told those that were listening to him on that occasion, assuredly there are some who are standing here who will not taste death until they see the kingdom of God or heaven come with power. Matthew chapter 16 and verses 17 and 18, Jesus shares with us and with Peter at that particular time, he'll give him the keys to the kingdom. I will build my church. That kingdom is the church. Let's look at this parable at face value for what it is, shall we? First of all, the landowner or the master in God. We see that the landowner looks for laborers. That's what he's doing. He's got a vineyard, and vineyards are very common in that part of the world. And he needs laborers to go into these vineyards and work them. He can't do it himself. He needs help. We also see the landowner was equal or an impartial landowner. He goes out, you know that the day is divided up into 12 parts from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. And he would come out and just visualize this if you would. The landowner, he goes to the marketplace and he sees folks milling around who are working for work, looking for work, and he agrees to pay them a denarius. In a Roman coin, a day's wage was worth about $32. Wonderful. We're going to make at least $32 worth before the day's over with. But then he comes back again at 9 a.m. He comes back at noon. He goes all the way up to 3 o'clock. And whatever's right, he says, I'll pay you. And even some who came on at the 11th hour. But what did he pay them all? Different amounts? Same thing. Impartial. He's equal unto all of them. That didn't sit well, especially with those who came at 6 a.m. Well, if they got $32, we're good at least for, 64 or maybe more. But he was fair with all of them. He was equal. He was impartial. We also see that he was generous. He was gracious unto them. That's the way the master was, the landowner. He understood how times were. They're tough. And they're not just tough on the ones who come at 6 a.m. Times are tough for those that even show up at the 11th hour. And out of the goodness of his heart, he decides, you know what, I'll pay them all the same. I'll pay them all the same. Brethren, how does this apply to us? First of all, spiritually speaking, I want you to understand that God is looking for laborers. God is looking for laborers. This is not uncommon sight or scene in our modern times, is it? I remember the other day just being out and noticing on a business, a local business, it advertised, now hiring. There's work out there. Newsflash. Most of the time, jobs don't come to you. You've got to go to them. And that's what these job-seeking folks were doing in Matthew chapter 20. We're looking for a job. And spiritually, the Lord is telling us, brethren, that there is work to be done. God wants work to be done in His kingdom. As Tony read for us in the passage this morning in our scripture reading in Matthew chapter 9, in verses 37 and 38, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers, they're few. Pray to the Lord of the harvest that the laborers will be sent out to work. Rather, when Jesus came onto the scene, He was seeking workers. He would tell fishermen to go fish for men, tax collectors to not collect silver, but to collect souls for His kingdom. I think it's interesting that Jesus would return to this message about the kingdom and making sure His disciples understood that they were actively involved in His kingdom. As He enters the final stretch of His life, He knew that if His disciples failed to work, no one else would do it. And why was it that before Jesus descended to be with the Father that He would give us what we call the Great Commission? Isn't the Great Commission all about going and doing? It is, isn't it? It's not just sitting and watching. It's going. It's doing. We sing the song, we'll work till Jesus comes, we'll work. We sing that, don't we? Brethren, do we mean what we sing? Let's not make excuses. Brother and I have seen some folks that up in years, the span of their life is, that window is becoming smaller and smaller. And you cannot tell me that whenever I see folks up in years who seems like that the only thing left to do now is just die and go home and be with the Lord. But yet I see folks up in years who are making calls, who are sending cards, who are coming faithfully if they're able. Brethren, that is so encouraging to me to see that. How encouraging that is that at 80 years old, 90 years old, still working in the kingdom. Still working. Still involved. One thing is for sure, whether we work or not, Satan is working. Satan is working. Satan is real. He is working overtime to take as many souls to hell with Him as possible. And I pray, brethren, that we see the urgency of working in the kingdom for the Lord. 2, God's favor is fair and impartial. God has always been a God of impartiality. His love is impartial, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. The Scripture doesn't read, for God so loved the Jews that He gave His only begotten Son. The Scripture doesn't say that God so loved the Gentiles that He gave His only begotten Son. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. It's an impartial love. This is something that Peter would soon understand in Acts chapter 10. You remember when he was lodging at the home of Simon the Tanner. You remember? There about that sixth hour, Peter had gone off to pray, and he had seen a vision, a sheet with four corners coming down from the heavens. And on this sheet, there were all kind of creatures, four-footed beasts, wild creatures, and creeping things. And a voice told Peter to rise, kill, and eat. Peter protested, no, anything that is common or unclean, I cannot partake of. There's no way. Go back to Leviticus chapter 11, and you'll see that beginning in verse 2. He's just being a good, devout Jew. This is something, God, You commanded us not to do. This happened 3 times, the Scriptures tell us. All along, prior to that, there was a fellow by the name of Cornelius. So about the 9th hour, while fasting and praying, a man in bright garment appeared to him. And he informed him that his alms and his prayers, they come up as a memorial before God. Go, send for Peter, and he will tell you, brother, the Scriptures say this, what you must do. Interestingly enough, when you make the connection between what he says, Peter will tell you what you must do, and whenever Peter eventually arrives at Cornelius' home, the conclusion that they come to is, we must hear all things that God commands you, must do, commands you. How do you get around it? You just got to not want to see it. But anyway, he arrives. Here's Cornelius gathered together with his family, and he's in a prostrate position. He's bowing down before Peter. Peter's telling him, get up. I'm a man like you. You don't worship me. He gets up, and he shares the story with Peter. And Peter came to the realization. You go over there in Acts chapter 10, brethren, and he came to the conclusion, you remember, that God is not a God of partiality. He does not show partiality. Acts chapter 10. Look, if you would, in verse 34. He opened his mouth and he says, in truth I perceive that God shows no partiality, but in every nation who fears Him and works righteousness is accepted by Him, accepted by God. He was able to make the connection. God is not a God of partiality. Paul came to the same conclusion, you remember, there in Galatians chapter 3 and verses 26 and 27. We're all baptized into Christ, and we put on Christ. He says, there's neither Jew nor Greek, neither slave nor free, there's neither male nor female. You are all one, he would say, in Christ Jesus. Now, brethren, our God is an impartial God. This means that our outlook and our mission must be impartial. When we're working, remember, we're working for the Lord. And when we take the blessed gospel to lost souls, listen to me. There is no black, there is no white, there is no yellow, there is no red. There's just souls. That's all they are. That's the way God sees it. And when we're involved in His mission, we're involved in His work, that's the way we must see it. They're just lost souls. And they need the Lord. Third and finally, God is gracious and generous. The landowner was gracious and generous, as we see in Matthew chapter 20 and verses 13 through 16. He always has been, and He forever will be. He looks upon lost souls with pity and passion to save them. You know, in that parable there, Matthew chapter 20, the landowner could have given them what they deserved. You work an hour, this is what you get. This is what you deserve. You work 3 hours, this is what you get. This is what you deserve. Aren't you so thankful God hasn't given us what we deserve? He's gracious. And He's merciful to us. And brethren, as we live out our lives with regards to being workers in the kingdom of God, we need to understand God is a gracious God. Jesus butted heads on a continual basis with a group that was not gracious or merciful. How can you reason in your mind that it's okay to pull up an animal out of a ditch, but to heal a blind man or to make a lame man walk, it's sin? Now you go figure. If we can put that in a modern version, it's almost as if Jesus is looking at them and saying, "Really? Really?" I saw a bumper sticker like that the other day. Really? Just comply to anything. Our outlook needs to be gracious, brethren. Jesus rebuked those Pharisees, those Sadducees, the religious elitists of His day, who felt like they were judge, jury, and executioner. And that is not us, folks. By the grace of God go I. That needs to be our attitude. That needs to be the message that we share as we go forward. I want to encourage you this morning to come to Jesus. Laborers are still needed. I want to encourage you this morning, because whenever you finish up Acts chapter 10, you indeed see Cornelius and his household repenting of their sins and being baptized into Jesus Christ. Now again, you go back and you connect what we must do with, we must do what God has commanded us. And that same solution is given time and time again throughout the New Testament church. And it's the message that we preach today. I want to encourage you, if you've never obeyed the gospel, that you indeed repent of your sins. You confess Christ as your Lord and you be baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of those sins. Don't just sit there. Go to work. Go to work. Maybe you have done that and you used to work. You used to toil. You used to labor for the Lord. But the cares of this world, the affairs of this world, they're beginning to choke out the seed. The passion, the love, the desire that we have for God. And we want to return in full service and get busy for God. Friend, if you feel you need to respond to the invitation, please come forward together. We stand and we sing.